good to have you finally. I know it took us long enough.
10 years later.
Yeah, and I know, you know, with good things, it takes time. So I'm not even nervous about it. I'm just ready.
I'm ready for you to get this done, too. I'm ready. I'm excited to be a part of it. I just think that it's a blessing for me to even be asked to co-host the Stop Pretending podcast out of Birmingham, Alabama, y'all.
You're my best friend. Why not? It's been 10 years that I've been knowing.
Over 10 years, honestly.
Yeah, and so, y'all, I just wanted to introduce us. I'm Kevin Ray and Tajanique Nevels. We hail from Birmingham, Alabama. I grew up on the western side of Birmingham. She grew up on the east side.
Pop, 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 pop. I think I'm going to add some gunshots in there, right there.
And so, you know, I stand at 31. I'm a worthy 30, ghetto nerd. I'm a Virgo, September. You know, y'all would not be anything without us. We hold the world accountable.
Oh, Lord. Here come them boasting ass Virgos.
Beyonce, shout out. God. Kobe, shout out. Rest in peace. Gosh. Michael Jackson, the list goes on. Oh, Roger P. Henson, we some special foe, yo. And so, you know, I'm a ghetto nerd. I identify as that because I'm black. I'm an author of 2 books, working on book number 3.
Okay.
I love God, deeply loved by God.
Yes, but we prayed right before we started this podcast.
Yes, real too. But I'm still a mess though. I ain't gonna hold you. I'm a balance between ratchet and righteousness. So I will fool your ass. But I'm black. I'm a nerd, high key. No cooning on my watch. No anti-blackness on my watch. Wholeheartedly believes that black women are the pink starburst of the world. Ooh. I decided to start this podcast for people who are sick and tired of the mask. Sometimes I think as black people, we're forced to directly or indirectly wear a mask of pretending that everything is all right when it's not all right. Mm. That we just supposed to smile and take it with all the things that goes on in our community when it comes to drugs, when it comes to violence, dating issues. I just want this to be a community where we can be real with each other, hear each other out with no judgment and no counseling. I'd rather us counsel each other. I love God, but that's only one dimension of me, right? Mm-hmm. I have layers to me. I love documentaries, outdoors, being a freak. I love deep conversations, good energy, politics. I'm a lover of people and just getting better. So, you know, that's my goal as a podcast. I have no agenda but to bring us closer together as a community.
That was a hell of an introduction. And I see that's that big Virgo energy that he was just talking about, honey. Because, God damn. I'm 28 plus 2.
We don't keep up.
sure don't. Okay.
We just live.
I'm still 25 in my book. 25 and counting. I'm a single black female. I graduated from HBCU Miles College. Stand up. You in a building. I own a skincare line called She Unique. She Unique Skin, to be exact, on Instagram if you want to check me out. I was a news reporter. I've reported in Iowa. I've reported in South Dakota and Nebraska. And now I am working from home. I'm a dog mom. I have a little baby, Nina. She's about 9 months. If you want to go see her, check out my Instagram. That is my dog. And I cook and clean and never smell like onion rings. So I'm just going to keep it real. Like, I'm going to just try to give you fun energy and real thoughts, you know? So I'm just here to help my bestie shine. That's what I'm here for.
Thank you so much for joining me on this session. And y'all, we're going to learn a lot. We're going to grow a lot. Y'all hold us accountable. Give us good feedback. Give us good questions. We just want to delve in. And so first topic we want to talk about is men don't dive deep with women like that. I was thinking about women who often complain that their men are always hanging out with other men. To be exact, they're niggas. Always hanging around with niggas.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I saw a comment one time of a girl. I think it was you, maybe. You had told another dude that y'all don't really like us for real. Y'all want to fuck us. Y'all want to have sex with us. But when it comes to down just engaging with each other, y'all don't really like us. Can you speak to that, Tay? Like, give me more insight on that?
Well, you know, I feel like in this day and age, a lot of men don't really dive deep with women. They ask the questions just so they can spend the time that is required for the woman to think that she knows him more than she actually does. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's something that is kind of weird and strange because it comes from a manipulative standpoint in a sense. And so I'm always in the back of my mind when I meet a man, I'm I'm thinking about the questions that he's thinking to ask me. And, you know, they don't really ask you about, you know, well, how were you raised? Or if this situation were to happen, how would you handle this? You know, it's just always about, well, what type of food do you eat so I could take you there, so I can make you think that I like you? Well, what kind of, you know, like...
What's your favorite color?
Yeah, like, how many times you want me to call you a day so we can sit on the phone, listen to each other, breathe, so you can think that I like you?
You can tell the strategy behind
it. It's always strategy. And I feel like with men, they don't have strategy. They just have the time. They just spend the time without having to manipulate and be strategic about... The friendship is I guess it's because there's no real goal that they're able to relax and just spend the time when that's all what women want to do too, you know? So it's kind of weird to me.
That's weird because I had a homeboy and he's friends with this guy that he's close with. And his mom was telling him how he should stay away from him. Like he's bringing danger to the household, but yet he was grieved that his friendship what may be dissipating or may be gone. Like, and I was just like, you know, when I used to hang out with, I mean, don't get me wrong, I got a circle of dudes that I call friends, right? I got about three or four solid ones. But like back in the day when I used to have just real, like maybe it was six of us running together, like I may have went to the club and different things like that. But even then in the club, I would just part ways from them to mingle with the women. I mean, even Pac said it, like, so I said, the women is where it's at. Like, that's where you learn. That's where you grow. That's where you get better in your conversation. So I've always had an interest in the woman. Like, I like to see their viewpoints. I like to see their perspectives on things. But I didn't realize that, by and large, that's rare. That men typically want a slave, almost. Like...
When it comes to women, at least, not when it comes to men, you know, I feel like they like to be this, you know, they like to be, they just want to be with men, but it's like with women, we have to have this role in order to be with them, like, and it's just weird.
Because even
like,
when men, when I look at them and they compliment, I mean, they're hanging out with each other, I don't see no real exchange of conversation.
No, like, they don't be doing nothing. They sit on, they're either just playing a game.
Yeah.
It's never any substance. It's never any
smoking,
nothing of substance.
May laugh at or something. They see a video, may show each other a YouTube.
Yeah.
But it's not like no real, just genuine dialogue unless we really going through something. Like somebody broke our heart.
Yeah, we're arguing or something. Or you had a bad childhood. You want to talk about it this one time and then you never talk about it again.
Yeah, so it's just weird, but now it helps me so much when I go on dates that women kind of feel like I'm weird because I actually take interest in their thoughts. They're not used to men that, you know, really inquisitive or ask good questions or try to make conversation. Like, that is so crazy that y'all, I mean, we got to do better as men. Like, and I've told men that's close to me in my life, and one had asked me for advice on how to date women, how to get better, because he's just like, you pretty much got this under control sometimes. And I ain't saying I'm the best or the expert at this, but you know, as far as reading books, looking at documentaries, filling yourself with knowledge, traveling, whatever it is, getting around friends, getting around women, like you gotta have good conversation. It can't just be what you're doing. It can't be just texting somebody. You know, where you at all the time, or every hour, about an hour, you texting the same thing every day.
What you doing? What you doing? Nothing. Because I feel like that's how they text their homeboys, but they just like the response from them. It's really strange. Well, I feel like it's backwards. They don't really text their homeboys because it'll be like that, but they just rather just be around them. Like, it's not really a lot of communication. They just want to be in the presence of another man.
But you think there's some little murders out here, though. That's a P-Valley.
That's another topic. I just feel like, I don't think it's a lot of straight men that are trying to, you know, having sex with their homeboys. Mm-hmm. But I just do think that they just like spending time with their homeboys. Like, I don't know, and I don't really understand.
Because women be real
why.
Deal offended. They be saying, these boys be waking up in the morning, early morning, 7 o'clock, talking on the phone to each other. Very nice. They say the men go back and forth with them and arguing, but then when the man come on the scene, it's like they freeze up. They know how they get, like, they sick. My sister say they sixth sense kick in,
yeah.
And like they start respecting the man
yeah.
when it's man to man. But when it's a man woman, we as black men are disrespecting our women or going toe-to-toe with them online or in the comments and just too involved. But involved in the wrong way with women.
It's a God complex, son. Yeah. This is a man's world, you know? But they don't got the last part. It would be nothing, absolutely nothing, without a, what is that, woman or girl. Yeah. That's real. I just don't think that they respect women's position in this world. But that's about to change because women is running shit. Yeah. Women are running shit, okay? I'm so proud of black women in these days when it comes to businesses, when it comes to having careers, when it comes to just having autonomy, traveling, leisure, luxury. I'm seeing black girls in spaces that I've never seen before. I'm having so much black girl inspiration that I've never, ever seen before coming off of the East Side, Project City, Gate City, Alabama. I'm seeing black women handle their shit, and I'm just so proud of how they evolved. So, you know, that respect is coming. It's either going to be envy from the man that can't take it, or, you know, you're just going to be out of the picture. So, I mean, things are changing.
We really do gotta level up.
And speaking of black businesses and black women, a lot of emerging black business owners, definitely.
Right, and we celebrate that. Just that, the generations get better, like far as our parents were big on working a job, being committed and loyal to that job, working the 40-hour work week, and retiring, you know. But our generation is asking for more, and not just our generation, but even the generation after us, the centennial generation, they really don't give a fuck about this workplace. I mean, we're not hiring young people anymore. Like, they are not hearing shit about us talking about working 4 hours. They are YouTubers. They are models.
Yes.
And got, like, I know a girl out of Houston, 22 years old, got a big ass house, big car.
It's like, what am I not doing right? Because these 22 year olds and 60, it's babies on YouTube making more money than me. And I'm just like, why did I miss it? I wasn't born in the right generation. Because, God, everybody seemed like they got the bus or I missed it. What's going on?
Yeah. And, you know, even at the height of 2020, which was just a crazy year, I'm so glad that those who are listening made it through. I'm sure you lost loved ones. I'm sure it was just a lot of trauma with the George Floyd situation. But a survey said that 75% of black business owners have seen an increase in business since June of 2020. So the focus is on black business. It's like everybody want to know, how can I do business with black people?
And I love that. I just want to say that is one of the things that I've definitely recognized. Even listening to other people's podcasts, I'm tuned in to so many black podcasts that are constantly talking about entrepreneurship, wealth, generational wealth, breaking generational curses. Like the millennial generation they got the memo, you know, like they really sparked a movement within the black culture. And that is one of the greatest things I feel like is noteworthy is the networking. The networking has been phenomenal with the black community. What's another positive thing that you have seen the black community, you know, do as far as business?
Just being supportive, encouraging, like sharing people's products on social media, making sure you write those reviews and actually recommending people to the black business owner. I just love the intentionality. I love the songs. Wale said, "Rooting for everybody that's black." And even the
Issa Rae started that first, by the way.
okay, fair enough. And even other cultures, you know, they're getting in. You know, we just recently went to a black business that just opened in Birmingham, Alabama, called Slutty Vegan. And shout out to Pinky Cole. Like, I've been looking at some videos of her and just kind of getting a grasp of her spirit. And I just love her spirit and how she believes in the black community. She could have went anywhere. She could have went to Hoover. She could have went to any other city and probably done well. But yet she chose Birmingham. Mm-hmm. 75% black city. And, you know, I was just amazed at how the people were so intentional with eye contact. They were intentional with their energy.
They were intentional with buying that burger. Let me tell you how long that line was, y'all. People were intentional about putting that food in their mouth. And I just think, yeah, the fun is great. We're here to support. But to see people stand in a line that literally walked about two blocks down. My grandmother is on a cane, y'all. And she made my mother, she got her butt out there and made my mother go up there and get her a burger. Like, Black people are being intentional. When I say intentional, they are, I'm gonna make sure I get this burger in my mouth so I can tell everybody about it.
Wake it up.
I love that. Yeah. That is something that it was a beautiful thing to see.
And how did the burger taste to you?
Why are you gonna do that to me? Okay, it was a good burger. I'm gonna say it's a good burger, but it's not something that I crave. And I feel like it's not something that I crave because A, I don't crave burgers. Mm-hmm. I don't even crave beef burgers like that.
Right.
And if I did crave a burger, it has to be like on a grill and it has to
Char
be,
grill.
Yeah, it gotta be something special about Char a burger for me to want to, yeah, it gotta be something special about a burger. But the special ingredients was her Black soul
right. That
was embodied around that mission.
The fries were on point.
The fries were good. But
it was an okay burger to me.
It was an okay burger, but the mission.
Yes.
The mission, okay? Because white people can't cook.
Black at all costs.
Okay, period.
Because, see, for me, it was like...
Because it's better than McDonald's. Yeah. It's better than the Burger King.
Right.
So if we can get that shit off the corner and get her shit on each corner, okay?
I do want to try the banana pudding with sea moss in it.
That sounds interesting to me. That sounds crazy.
And then I did hear the strawberry lemonade is bomb. Like, even your mom said that. And Bree, one of our own, Bree... for Terrific Treats, she actually is the producer of that juice, that strawberry lemonade. So now she's selling it by the pound.
Really?
By the pound. I'm going to actually get some of that after I take a trip to Slutty Vegan again to try it. I'm going to try a little sample of it first, but then if she hidden, I'm about to have about two jugs loads in the refrigerator. So shout out to Bree. Bree went to high school with me. Bree Haywood, so proud of you doing your thing out there with Terrific Treats. And so, you know, I don't wanna get into this podcast. I know when we think Black businesses, sometimes everybody talks negative about Black businesses. But I want to start off with the positive. Like, we have some positive runners out here, like a Pinky Cole, like Bree. Haywood, that's just consistent. But we do have a downside, and we need to talk about that. We family, you know. I know other coaches listen to this, but hey, Black people, we got to wake up. We the attention is on us about being empowered, about supporting us in this. And let's just, you know, what are your gripes with Black business right now, Tay?
Well, like you said, I feel like because we have made such significant steps, I feel like within the last 2 years, in 2 years, this has grew into something major. And that's not that long. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I just feel like we're accelerating at a pace where we are not really educated enough on the things that are beyond the money. So when I say that, a lot of the issues that I have with, that I've encountered with Black communities, okay, let's do something. Mm-hmm. On a count of three,
yeah,
I want you to name the top problem that you feel like is in the Black community. Ready? One, two, three.
Customer service. Isn't that crazy? That's what we would say out of all the shit, right? Like the budget, hiring, inflation. I mean, we can take a dart and throw at all these different things, but we all are in unanimous voting that customer service is
custom motherfucking service.
Bullshit.
Bro.
Real talk.
Oh,
I'm trying to save some folks on this podcast because I don't want to name drop, but we're gonna take the prince by these stories
the
now. We're gonna take the prince by these stories.
Oh, I got so many nightmares that have happened to me over the past 2 years with customer service in the Black community. I mean, and I'm talking about not even just employees, owners. You see what I'm saying?
Owners.
Like, owners.
This is your shit.
This your shit. You got the power to change everything.
Right.
Y'all. So, customer service. I say, I recently got my hair, not recently, I say last year, I got some some false dreads put into my hair, and they were the bob kind of dreads. And I can't remember this girl's name. Literally, she does great and phenomenal hair. However, she did my hair, and it was like she kind of didn't care about preserving my hair. I had really long hair, and she was, so if you guys know anything about the bob type of false locks or the butterfly locks, or that's what they were called, butterfly locks, you're supposed to flip the hair up and then continue to do the lock so that way they look shorter, but you're supposed to make the dread a little longer than the folded hair. So she didn't do that. She just folded my shit up, didn't care where it ended, and just dreaded it up so it looked short. So as I'm taking down the hair, I'm supposed to cut right above the knot. She stopped my hair, like, literally past the knot. So I'm cutting my hair in half, y'all. I cut so much of my hair in the back of my head in half. I literally cried. I never
Your whole mood changed that day.
I was heartbroken. I got on Instagram and Twitter. I bashed her. I tagged her. I wanted to fight. I wanted blood at this point. I wanted to see you in the streets. Like, we got beef.
This is more than a business custom transaction.
Oh, this personal.
This is family. This fight me.
It's personal. Like, you just sat in my house and you gonna do some shit like that. You sat in my house for 8 hours to do my hair. You gonna do some shit like that to me? So, and then what topped it off was, you know, not the fact that she didn't know what she was doing with this particular hairstyle, because I've been to her before plenty of times. It was the fact that when I told her that, hey, you didn't, you know, have the proper length together and I'm cutting my hair in half, she says, oh, my bad. I don't know. This has never happened before. And then that was it. Like, didn't offer to, you know, compensate, didn't offer a free hairstyle, didn't offer shit, but just, wow, this has never happened to me before. And that was, and I couldn't believe the response, like, to something that was traumatic, and I expressed my trauma, and you say some shit like that. Like, and that doesn't, I hate to just ramble, I'm gonna let you take the mic, but it was just, that was something that hurt my heart, you know. It left a little stale taste in my mouth about, you know, supporting, especially my hood. Like, I love my hood girls, but man, I got some stories, man. I got some stories.
You know, it's kind of remind me, and I'm gonna take the principle out of one of my friends, Jasmine. She just recently had a baby shower, and so the dress that she went with was banging. The look she pulled off was really good, but she wanted this dress, and one of the things she said that really pissed her off about it was not, I mean, she was laughing that the dress was, and you saw the pictures, mean, it looked crazy as hell.
Her arm looked droopy. Like, the shoulder blade was droopy. It looked, just imagine a show, y'all know back in the day in them 80s when they had them shoulder pads and them blazers? Just imagine that, but with no pads.
And so, but she was saying how, one, she just wished the lady would have told her the truth, that she could not do it. That's a good point. A lot of black businesses owners out here trying to so thirsty for the bag.
Yes.
That you will commit to anything. And that's one thing you got to say, that you can say no to people. You can say no and people will respect that. They will respect you being honest, saying, I know I would love to try. And I have even had artists, people that I want to do paintings for me. And they said, no, I can't do it, Ray. I just can't do it. And I respect that. But then also she said what pissed her off was her response to when she came to her with the complaint. She actually laughed and said, you can't find nowhere else. What the fuck? Like, JB didn't show her ass on social media and got about 300 shares about this. I mean, the whole community talking about it.
Now so, everybody knows is taking caution against you. Now you've destroyed your reputation, because I did the same thing. I got on Instagram and I bashed that girl. I tagged her. You see what I'm saying? And if you don't know how to do things and you want to, don't practice on people who's paying you high money.
Ooh.
Just lower them prices. Hey y'all, I want to do some practice. I'll do $30 for some hair, or I'll do $120 for a dress. It will be a practice dress. Humble yourself. You ain't nobody looking at you. You can do that. And let your reputation speak for yourself, because now your reputation is speaking all of the bad things.
Yeah, and I think a lesson from that is know who the fuck you're dealing with in front of you. Like, don't get me wrong, it shouldn't be no favoritism really about a customer, because everybody should get excellent customer service. But sometimes even your interview process with this client, you need to know kind of what's pushing behind the weight of them. You know what I mean? Like, some of these folks got big names out here, and when they call you out on social media, the whole community paying attention, and now you messing up future customers, future clients, because all of you thinking you're just not taking them serious, or you this person in front of you, you're so focused on the money that you lose sight of who in front of you. So you know, but I want to also give one of my stories. I remember around Juneteenth, I was trying to get a shirt made, had a specific color in mind. The guy agreed to it. I paid him up front, tipped him as well. You know, Gabe, I believe in you wholeheartedly to show you, hey, I'm not just interested in your product, I'm interested in you.
And Kevin is a good tipper, y'all.
I try, right?
Message.
And so by the time we getting close to Juneteenth, he called me. Well, no, didn't even call me, actually. Didn't even tell me that it was ready. I called him, check on it. Hey, is ready? Hey, man, I really think you're going to look good in this color. I'm like, but I want that color.
Oh.
I saw those colors, right? I saw all your whole menu. But we committed to this color. And then you're going to tell me 2 days from Juneteenth that you ain't got the color in stock. Now, hold on, y'all. I didn't pay you in advance. I didn't pay you in advance. I didn't tip you. I am the priority at that time. That's how you keep your best customers in the loop.
Wow.
This ain't no normal $10. This ain't no it's $50, $40 that nigga done dropped on your ass for some material. I know you got cheap about $3, right? I know your game. I know what it is. But I support you that you stepped out there. I'm still supporting you. Still going to buy a shirt from your ass. You know what I'm saying? But next time, you know. And that's why we don't name drop, because we still want to keep the essence of supporting each other as black business. We ain't trying to expose you. We ain't trying to, you know what I'm saying? But we want you to say, hey, you know, nigga, I see your ass. Right? But anyway, you know, some tips I was thinking about just for black businesses to get better. And I saw this post by this girl named Jen one time. She said, coming out as a rookie but charging like a vet could be the reason you don't have any customers. I get that a lot. We overcharge too much.
That is the biggest problem. That's the second biggest problem that I feel like black communities, specifically in the beauty industry, girls are dealing with right now. There have been talks of boycotting girls who do hair, boycotting girls who do nails, because you guys are overpricing. The Asians are not charging $160 to $100 for a fill-in, like, and yet you guys want people to pay these astronomical prices, but then they have to book you out 2 months in advance to even sit in your damn chair. Like, nobody has a salon anymore. Nobody has, you know, sit down services anymore. Everything is just about quick, fast, let me get your money, get what you need and go.
You gotta wash your hair too, don't you?
You gotta wash your own hair. Nothing is about the experience anymore. And we're paying more for less of an experience. And I'm not with that. That's not where I want things to go, especially with black people. Other people around the world could do what they want to do, but black people, we are creators. We can create an experience around anything that we do, and that's what makes us special, is that twang that we add to us. So I do want us to get better with this prices, because it seems like everybody got it. I don't know what the hell we so greedy for, and we up here trying to take from each other when it's, you know, when we're trying to keep the black dollars in the black community. You know, I don't want to rant.
It's like what even us as corporate America do. You know, they give promotional discounts just to get you in, you know? And then now they may go up as they see their business grow, but y'all, you know, you don't even give your chance to grow, because
you come out the gate $160 for some damn arching of eyebrows or something crazy.
I call that eating off your seed. Right now, you just got a seed. Mm. You ain't got no tree. The tree reproduces itself. The tree gives fruit, keeps growing fruit in seasons. You see what I'm saying? In and out of seasons. But you talking about the seed right now? You just eating off your seed. You trying to survive off your seed. That's why you're charging so much. But also, another one was, additionally, let's cancel this sliding scale of charging more to those that you think have money. So that goes into judging and, you know, trying to cherry pick who your customer's going to be and, you know, all that. Hit my inbox for prices instead of just stating
the price. Having the same price for everybody.
Like, it's tacky if your price is your price. Keep that energy for everybody. She said, lastly, stop talking to people only when you want to sell.
Yeah.
Now, that's real. Like,
yeah, I agree.
At least, you know, even Facebook makes it easy. Wish them a happy birthday.
Yeah.
Show them that you're paying attention. Even sometimes what I do, even as an author, just to keep people interacting with me, I react with their pictures. I comment. I show energy because I want that energy reciprocated on my birthday or when I'm trying to promote something. Or I share stuff. I wish people happy birthday. Like this guy notices me. He don't just, and it's consistent. It's yeah. every year. It's yeah. not something I just do when I know a book launch coming, right?
Yeah.
And then ignoring people, you know, like I just said, ignoring people all year and becoming fake friendly right before your event or product launch is a fail. That's all. And then I wanted to talk more about my mentor. And I know this is going to be a long podcast right here because I really think this is going to help people. One of my mentors said she recently had a bad transaction with a business owner. He was doing work on her house, repairing things. And man, that's a whole other world. But let me tell you, she said she had sent him a text message just to be nice and told him, I want to thank you for helping me to be more conscious of the way I treat my customers as I work to be a better business owner. She's a business owner. Mm-hmm. She says, because I realize people don't have to do business with me. It is a blessing from God. She said, number one, to be a person of my word. The Bible says a good name is better than riches. That's so true. Number two, to not offer excuses, because when people give us their money, they want results. They're not looking for stories. They're not looking for what happened in your life. You know, not to say we're not compassionate or anything like that. I've had recently some dealings with that. You know, where people just give excuses for why they didn't get the job done. She says, to separate business from personal life. We all have things going on. Number four, to learn how to do business, not just our trade. Take classes if necessary. Mm. So what she's saying, all of us have a gift, right? But you may need to go to classes to sharpen that gift. You may need to go through some workshops. And it's all kind of shit on YouTube. Grant Cardone got stuff. I mean, John Maxwell. It's a lot of people that have been where you are and got stuff that's free. You know what I'm saying? That you can take advantage of. And number five, do not promise what we can't deliver. If we said it, we should make it happen, period. It may mean hiring others to get it done. You can't do everything. You can't do everything. Sometimes you got to delegate stuff. You want to take number six?
Oh, no, you got it.
Okay, you sure? Okay. Number six, be professional, show up and work. Number seven, understand that one of the greatest disrespectful things is to waste people's time by being late or not meeting contractual obligations. Number eight, don't tell people we saved them money after they signed a contract. Our people are notorious for doing this. Give the price that it takes to get the job done in a professional manner. And then she says, number nine, realize our business cannot be separated from our name. So the way you live, your integrity, all that matters. Because people, when they mention your business, they're going to say, who that business is? Oh, that's Kevin Ray. Oh, no, that nigga, he a slick. He a fraud or whoever. You know, your reputation matters, right? Number nine. Number 10, and last one, she says, honor our contract and add contingencies if the work is not done according to what's written. Being late costs the customer also. And she told him at the end, I'm a better business owner, and I hope this is helpful to you also. So, you know, was that helpful? How you feel like about those 10?
That was definitely 10 to live by. And as a small business owner myself, I'm definitely, you know, guilty of some of those things. And I definitely will be adding some of that valuable information. And I recently had to encounter someone showing up, you know, I'm not going
to
put that.
Talk to us.
Talk to us.
Be real. We're not pretending. Come on.
Yeah, but go ahead.
That sounded good. But, you know, Black Business, we rooting for you. We praying for you. And then the biggest thing I would say about Black Business owners, they need to start praying over your product. Praying that God enlarges your territory, increases your influence, that he draws the right people, the right customers across your path, that you're a blessing. You know, it's not just, and I tell business owners all the time, what are you doing to change people's lives? Because that's what's going to keep you in the game. It's not the money. The money comes and goes. And when it's a slow day, you're going to be like, well, damn, I'm checking out. I'm tired of this. But if you really feel like you made a difference in someone's life that hits different. The review hits different. You know, that what the lady was telling you, that she went to so many dermatologists, but yet she encountered your skin product and she was so happy that you did it. You know what I mean? Like, those are stories that keep you coming back. And so, you know, I just pray y'all great success. I hope you enjoyed this podcast topic. It was near and dear to our heart because I really felt like we were struggling out there. I'm serious. I see the stories, yo, real talk. I see Facebook, I see Instagram, and it just grieves me to see my people fucking over each other like this.
Hey, like you said, you know, we've accelerated a lot in the past 2 years. So, you know, we've made significant steps. And with those significant steps, there's going to be some errors because we are accelerating at such a fast speed.
Yeah.
And we don't have all the expertise behind this acceleration. So this podcast would definitely be dedicated to informing, you know, our people just about the proper steps as we accelerate into this abundance, into these black blessings, into this great path that is before us.
Give us feedback, y'all, if it was good. Email stoppretendingpodcast@gmail.com. Hit our Facebook, hit our Instagram. Tell if it was a blessing to us. Share with somebody that you think it'll touch. Share with the business owner that you feel like screwed you over. You know what I'm saying? It might be a good gift.
Okay, so make sure you guys follow the Stop Pretending podcast and keep up with our episodes. And we want to form a community on Instagram. It's not just about us posting pictures. We want to post y'all as well. If you guys have a business, let us, you know, post that on our Instagram. And we definitely, you know, will shout you out and get this community popping. This is going to be a community. It's not just a podcast, all right?
Yes.